Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Good morning. It is so lovely to be able to welcome you all to just one side of the church. I'm so pleased that somehow you have intuited that there is a profound wrongness about this section, which happens to be where I am. I'll try not to take it personally. It's lovely to have these very elect people at the back here on my side. But welcome to this, which is it Christmas Eve? Is it Christmas Eve yet? We call the whole day Christmas Eve these days. But traditionally, Christmas Eve doesn't start until the evening. And so I'm afraid that as we come and gather this morning with our Advent candles, you'll notice that we have three lit, and it is time for us to light the candle for the fourth Sunday of Advent. I wonder who knows. Go for it. We had John the Baptist last week as one of the options that we could have. This week we have
Mary.
Or, as other people say, the angel, or, as other people say, it can represent love. This idea of the annunciation of God to Mary, that she will have a son. And so with this candle, it's like we're lighting the starting gun on the race towards Christmas. It is nearly here, but not quite. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we remember the Annunciation to Mary and pray that as she watched and waited for the coming of her Son, growing within her womb, that we too will eagerly expect and anticipate the Nativity of Christ tomorrow. Amen. And so I hope that this morning you all have a copy of the order of service and a psalm sheet. If you have that, then you'll have everything you need as we make our way through this service. Let us remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayers. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song will we praise our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. And so let us stand and lift up joyful voices as we sing our first hymn, number 1202. be seated. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. If you would take out your sheets with our psalm on it, this is the psalm appointed for today. My plan had been that we would say it in two halves, one side versus the other, but I think on this occasion we will echo it back and forth between us. So if I take the odds and you take the evens, we'll journey our way through. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who teaches my hands for war and my fingers for battle. O Lord, what are mortals that you should consider them? Mere human beings that you should take thought for them?
They are like brethren, their days pass away.
Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke.
Cast down your mountains and scatter them.
Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and take me out of the great waters from the hand of foreign enemies.
His mouth speaks forgiveness, and their right hand is the hand of
glory. O God, I will sing to you a new song. I will play to you on a 10-stringed harp. Save me from the peril of the sword, and deliver me from the hand of foreign enemies.
His mouth speaks wickedness, and his right hand is the hand of
the sword. So that our sons in their youth may be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters like pillars carved for the corners of the temple. Our cattle be heavy with young. May there be no miscarriage or untimely death, no cry of distress in our streets.
Happy are the people whose blessing is this. Happy are the people whose hand is the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Just before we have our first reading from the Old Testament, I just want to say that dwelling in the Psalms, taking their words for our own, quite quickly become readily relevant to the world around us. We have talk of swords and enemies and violence and disaster, prayers against miscarriage and untimely death, but also the hope that God will bring blessings upon us. And happy are the people who have the Lord for their God. It may seem long and unusual to do the Psalms in this way, but I truly believe that when we pray them together, they inform us and help us in every area of our lives. So let us listen to our Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us respond to this prophecy of the Messiah in the words of the Song of David, saying together, "Blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen." Let us hear our New Testament reading.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call on all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Let us stand and together say the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? Despite the temptation to allow our sense of anticipation to draw us quickly into the Christmas story through the prophecy of Isaiah, we would do well to maintain this morning the theme of watching and waiting that Advent carries with it. For feasting without fasting is to rush the preparations, arriving at the destination without an appreciation for the journey. We could well land on the concluding words of Isaiah, recognize the familiarity within our carols and celebrations of the Nativity, and consider ourselves on the home straight, ready to cross the finish line and to arrive at Christmas. Yet this interaction between Isaiah and Ahaz is worth spending some time reflecting on, because, in truth, it is becoming increasingly relevant as an example of how people treat God today. Ahaz, king of Israel, comes across in a reasonable manner to our Western minds. Isaiah invites him to ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. And he responds, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. For those of us familiar with the Gospels, this may well seem like the right answer. For after all, Jesus, in disputing with the devil in the wilderness, responds, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Yet, as ever, context here is important. 2 Kings 16 and 2 Chronicles 28 record the reign of Ahaz as being the reign of an evil and despicable king. Under his rule, he pledged allegiance to foreign gods, altered and corrupted the religious practices of the temple, and even sacrificed some of his own children to Moloch by burning them on altars high in the mountains. When he died, his son Hezekiah became king, and the first thing he did was have the temple restored, the doors fixed, and all of the defilements cleaned out, a task which took 16 days. Imagine spending that long trying to get all sorts of satanic paraphernalia out of this building. That gives you a sense of the scale of what he was up to. And knowing this changes the way in which we frame Ahaz's response to Isaiah's invitation. This is not the righteous response of Jesus to the devil. This is the dismissive response of a non-believer who hears an invitation from a man of God to engage with God and says, no thanks, because they believe that God either isn't real or is incapable of doing anything meaningful. I will not ask, because who is there to listen? I will not put the Lord to the test, because there's no point. There's also a sense here that Ahaz has bigger worries at hand than Isaiah, this God-botherer who has tracked him down to have this odd conversation. Prior to our reading in Isaiah 7, we discover that Ahaz and the people of Israel have fearful hearts, which are trembling and shaking like trees in the wind, because of King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel. They were gathering an army and seeking to attack Jerusalem. Ahaz is therefore not only dismissive of God in general, but believed that he cannot do anything to help him in his present circumstances. I wonder if this describes anyone that we know, or perhaps it might even describe us ourselves. Life is filled with troubles, and when we are fixated on those troubles, it can be very difficult to let anyone else in to try and help us within our situations and offer us help. Problems with our health or our finances, or at work or in our families, can weigh heavily on our shoulders. This is not something that a fairy tale can impact. This is real life with real difficulties, and I have to deal with it by myself because no one is coming to save me. This is a mentality which is common because it's a profoundly human reality to be in stressful situations. Context remains key. It doesn't just shape our understanding of Ahaz's rejection of God's invitation made by Isaiah. It helps us to recognize something profoundly significant about the invitation itself. God has sent Isaiah to find Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highways to the fuller's field. That is, Ahaz and his servants and court members were likely examining what they could do to protect the water source from fear of an impending attack, or worse, a siege. God has sent Isaiah to a sinful man to offer him divine assistance so that God's chosen people might be saved from their circumstances. God knows that Ahaz is afraid, and without having been asked, comes to him, promising that there is no need to be afraid of the enemy if he will but believe and trust in him. The invitation of God to Ahaz is an example of the invitation of God to each of us. He does not wait for us to be good enough. He does not require us to become worthy for his attention. He doesn't need to meet us in the temple or here in church, but is prepared to find us in the midst of our own efforts to deal with our own situations. And he comes with a promise of peace and a desire to prove his love for us in ways which we can understand. Isaiah says, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." That is, let God demonstrate his loving faithfulness and power to you. But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord, responds not just to Ahaz, but in a loud voice to all in attendance. "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also?" Ahaz, in his disbelief, did not think that he was being rude to God, but was being offensive to this religious man making unbelievable claims. All too often, this is how people respond to us, and we might find this wearing or grating or frustrating. Yet Isaiah reminds us that Ahaz is not simply wearying mortals, but he wearies God as well. Yet where our patience wears thin, and we might be inclined to have choice words or just to give up on people, God's response is to double down on his promise to reveal himself. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." This prophecy is double-layered. The first is filled out after our passage is ended, a declaration that by the time a child has reached the age of knowing good from evil, the present enemies and circumstances will have been dealt with, not by Ahaz's political power and cunning, but through the wisdom and power of God. The second layer is the Advent layer. For many prophecies in the scriptures have both a short-term and a long-term reference, with the longer being assured by the fulfillment of the shorter. That is, God keeping his promise to the people of Jerusalem in that particular conflict becomes a sign of the longer-term promise made, that the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. That is, God with us. This is where we can start to point towards the Nativity of Christ and the celebration of Christmas. But we can also point towards something else as well. The presence of God in our own lives. No matter what our difficulties, no matter how good or sinful we might be, we can each point to those moments of goodness that God has shown us. The story of Ahaz in Isaiah 7 is a representation of the story of all sinners. Before we know God, we have our own struggles and fears which are all-consuming. Whether we ask for God's help or not, he sees us, he knows us, our hearts and our struggles. And rather than being repulsed by us, he extends to us the divine hand of friendship, offering us his grace, his power and forgiveness within our lives, if we will but trust in him. This is the prophetic echo of the story of Christmas, that God himself will become one of us. Living as Jesus, he lives amongst us to reveal to us the love of God, a love of God based not on military prowess, but on the absorption of suffering and the consequences of sin by dying for us upon the cross. Isaiah offered Ahaz a sign, let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. In Jesus, God goes as deep as Sheol for us, that we might be lifted as high as heaven in the power of Christ's resurrection. So as this Advent draws close to the dawn of Christmas, let us keep our eyes open for God's presence amongst us in our own lives. Let us keep our ears open to the call of God to go out and share this invitation with those we know who are in need of his love and his grace, especially this Christmas. Amen. If you have seen the goodness of God at work in your own lives, I invite you to stand and join with me in confessing the faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In a short moment, Deborah will be coming to lead us in our prayers. But let us sing the beginning of our prayers as we sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Number 40. comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace, may work too hard for him. In faith, receive. Let us be seated for a time of prayer.
Lord, as we stand on the eve of Christmas, we live again the time of preparation for your coming, as a baby in the manger and as our Lord and Saviour. We take a moment to examine our lives, our need to put right our many shortcomings, and our need to welcome you into our hearts with the same spirit of unquestioning faith which the Virgin Mary showed upon the angel's visitation. We are sorry for those weaknesses which distance us from you, and are humbled by the great love you showed to us in sending your Son to be raised among mankind, a living witness to show us the way to you. Help us to pause and reflect beyond the trappings which we have built around the commemoration of your nativity. The first coming you chose for your Son was humble, simple. May we prepare to enter the festival of Christmas in the same manner, to cherish with Mary and Joseph, to marvel with the shepherds, to adore with the angels. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Saviour, the world was a cruel and harsh place at the time of your birth. So little has changed. The struggle for power, wealth, or notoriety still grips mankind, and it is all too easy to feel helpless, or worse, impervious to the atrocities which fill our media. We struggle to understand, but put our faith in your power to shine your light of hope in the world's darkest deeds. Renew a just spirit in our leaders and humanity in their choices. Give them wisdom and courage to stand up for what is right. Comfort those brought low by happenings beyond their control. Be with them in their need, and give them hope that they may hold fast to your name and through you seek to rebuild their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Closer to home, we pray that your hand will be upon this parish of Penn and Tyler's Green as we prepare to celebrate Christmas with our services today and tomorrow. We ask that you will bless those who will lead us in our worship, and pray that those who hear the Christmas message, in whatever form, may take it into their hearts and know you as their Saviour as we rejoice in the telling of your birth. Lord, in your mercy, we now turn our thoughts to those in need of your healing touch, those who have nothing, the sick and those in pain, the lonely, the worried, the depressed, the bereaved, all for whom this season is especially difficult in contrast to the joy and warmth around them. Lord, you came to us in poor and oppressed circumstances. Help us to reach beyond our own situations and share our compassion with those who need it at this time. We bring before you Edwina and Arshak Sarkissian, Sheila and Harry Knox, Oliver and Anique Heal, Eve and Peter Nelson, Amanda Ricketts, and the family and friends of Peter Sachs, and in a short moment of silence, any others known to ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer for us all at this Christmas time. Be, Lord, a bright flame before us, a guiding star above us, a smooth path below us, a kindly shepherd behind us, today, tonight, and forever. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Together we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Before we move on to our concluding hymn, just a couple of notices to let you know what is happening over the next day or so. This evening, or this afternoon rather, at 3 p.m, there is a wonderful crib service happening here, led by David and Graham, and that will be a fun and enjoyable event for everyone involved, I'm sure. There will be another event, just as wonderful, but with me over at Holy Trinity at 5 p.m, also exploring the Christmas service story. And then at both churches tonight at 11:30, there will be services of Midnight Communion, welcoming in the festival of Christmas properly. There will be carols, there will be communion, it will be great. In the morning at 8 o'clock, we have communion at Holy Trinity, and in both churches at 10 o'clock, not 9:30, not 11, at 10 o'clock, we'll have a Christmas Day Holy Communion, to which all are most warmly invited to come and join us, while still having time to go on and have your Christmas lunches afterwards. The office will be closed from tomorrow through till the new year. We will be sort of responding to emails on a slow basis, and then in the new year we will be gently picking up steam, with the idea being that the office will be fully reopened on, I think it's the 7th or the 8th, whichever the first Monday, the second Monday is in January. And so that is our Christmas schedule. There will, of course, be services on the first Sunday in the new year. I'll be honest, my brain hasn't got that far ahead yet. But they will be here. You can find them on the website, and they'll be great. With that, I think it would be a great opportunity to just take a moment to explore what Tiger Club have been up to this morning, because I know that they have been across the way exploring something of the Christmas story. Good morning. So what have you all been up to today?
We've been doing different names for Jesus. And then exploring the meaning.
So they've been exploring lots of different names for Jesus. What kind of names and things did we have? We had
Messiah.
Messiah is a great name. Do we have any other good ones? The Son of the Lord. We could keep going all day, come on. There's lots and lots of different names for Jesus, who is the Messiah. He is the Son of the Lord. He's called the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, King of Kings. And so I think it would be all too right and appropriate for us to stand and sing a version of a hymn that Mary sang, Tell Out My Soul, number 520. Thank you very much.
Rejoice.
Lord, take these gifts and those which are given by various other ways and means, so they may be taken and used for your glory.
Amen.
May God the Father, who loved the world so much, he sent his only Son, give you grace to prepare for life eternal. May God the Son, who comes to us as Redeemer and Judge, reveal to you the path from darkness to light. May God the Holy Spirit, by whose working the Virgin Mary conceived the Christ, help you bear the fruits of holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. And together we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.